Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres wrap up their four-game set in Arizona. Here in studio, we've got Mike Grace, who sounds great on the radio, but has a little work to do in front of a TV camera.
I find myself really getting the hands gesticulating all over the place. I kind of like to hold onto a baseball, rub it up a little bit. It keeps my hands from going Ricky Bobby.
And we've also got Bill Center. For now,
I just have to watch every once in a while because bloopers keeps cutting me back in the schedule.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with your hosts, Mike Grace and Bill Center.
We are live from the AMR studios. I think we're live. Are we live? Are we on the air?
I think we're back.
We're back.
Good to be seen.
It is good to be seen. I see us on a television right now on a monitor. I see Blooper waving.
That's his victory sign. Right.
Hashtag blame Blooper. Yesterday, right. An unmitigated disaster, would you call it?
I think that in the history of Padres Social Hour, that was probably the darkest moment.
Literally.
So to speak. Yes.
Literally the darkest moment in show history. Poor Annie and Randy stuck on the couch in the chair. Talking to each other. Nobody could hear their conversations, but we're back. Seth, do you want to chime in, explain yourself at all?
We're on TV. It works.
We're back, and what a strange day yesterday. First of all, happy Mother's Day to all the moms right. out there. Thank you for everything you do. We appreciate it, and we're going to give you some great baseball. That's what we're going to do. Yesterday, what a weird day. So you start off with Social Hour. It doesn't even go on the air, and then you have one of those roller coaster games in Arizona that is probably not super uncommon for Arizona, and Chase Field has not been a great place for the Padres, but what a game yesterday in the most unlikely fashion, I would say.
Right, and to have Upton win it, I mean, or to get the decisive run on the home run in the 12th, I thought that was great. And, you know, and Craig Kimbrell right now is struggling a little bit. I mean, you got to admit it, that his ERA is up over 5. A couple guys yesterday hit pitches that were not great pitches, and they hit them. They did a perfect job of going where the pitch was against them. And you're seeing hitters make some adjustments to Kimbrell, and it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out.
Let's continue to talk about Craig Kimbrell, the probably the biggest negative of the game yesterday. Obviously, he gets 2 outs in typical Kimbrell right. fashion. Then he walks Jordan Pacheco, a 230 hitter with a 2-run lead. You never want to see that. Don't ever get the tying run to the plate.
Right.
And then he goes up 0-2 to Dorn, who's never had a major league RBI, and he slaps a double to right. Now Matt Kemp slips. Maybe the other run doesn't score.
I would have still scored. He's coming.
I think you're right. He probably right. does score there. They're running on 2 outs.
Right. Because Kemp's sliding there anyway, so he's going to have to. He's sliding to stop the ball. He's going to have to get up to throw it. The guy's coming. He's going to score.
And it was such a weird inning in general. Kimbrell throws over to first base. Myers wasn't there covering. He obviously didn't check to make sure that Myers was there to cover the runner. It didn't really affect the outcome in general. There were already 2 outs. The run would have scored.
Right,
but
I do think it affected the outcome because I think that threw Kimbrell off his game.
You think so?
Right. You have something like that, and you're kicking yourself for a minute. And, you know, you never know what quite happens after that, how long it takes you to get back in your groove. And he is a very intense groove person.
And I got to think, this is a guy that's never been traded in his career, and all those years in Atlanta, I would think there's still an adjustment period for him. He's wearing a new uniform for the first time in his professional career. He's getting settled into a new city. I think a lot of those things. You talk about Matt Kemp, who's in a little bit of a slump right now. He'd never been traded before. He's still adjusting to what it's like to not be a Dodger. Justin Upton has been traded before. It's a little easier for him to understand what it means to come to a new team and different responsibilities. I think there might be a little something to that. Maybe not a lot. But
well,
when you're Craig Kimbrell and you've done what he's done in the past.
I think you're a fifth of the way through the season. You should be over that by now.
But he hasn't thrown a lot of innings.
Right.
Craig Kimbrell has not gotten into a lot of games. He saved every game that he had the opportunity to until then. But they're still humans, Bill.
Right.
They're still humans.
But there should, performance-wise, and I think Kemp's made a nice adjustment. He's He's a little bit, I mean, he's out of the lineup today. He's a little tired right now. Could use a couple days off, which with today he's out of the lineup. Tomorrow's an off day. He gets it. I think Kemp has performed up to what I expected him to perform up to. I'm a little, right now, Kimbrell's a little bit shaky. And he's got the track record. It says it's not going to go on. But right now, you have to say this guy's a little bit shaky.
And on that 0-2 pitch, he just missed really, really badly.
Right.
It was supposed to be low and away, and he just jerked it inside, and Dorn throws the head and pulls it down the line. He obviously was not trying to throw a strike on 0-2. You never want to give up an 0-2 hit, especially in that situation, but he just missed badly, and sometimes that happens, I guess.
Right, but, I mean, his track record is it doesn't happen very often. When you look at his ERA now compared to past seasons, he's almost given up the same number of earned runs that he gave up all last year.
For a whole season.
Right.
You're right. No. And he's in a weird spot. I think he'll work through it. I like the competitive fire that he brings. That gives me a lot of hope. He's still throwing the ball hard. There's still the snap to his off speed and breaking pitches. So I'm not too concerned at this point. Like you said, the track record says he'll get back there. But they survived his blown save. He went 35 straight without blowing a save, and they survived it. So a positive sign there.
I believe in Craig Kimbrell. I think he's going to be he is a bona fide top-of-the-line closer. But right now we've seen a little bit repeat patterns with him where he has two really good at-bats, and then all of a sudden he's not sharp after that. And he's got to get that third out. He's got to close teams out.
He does have to do that. So much to talk about last night's game, but let's get to the moment of the game, and we're going to call it the Supercuts cut of the game, and obviously that's Justin Upton. He comes up in the 12th to lead off and just hammers the ball to left field, and that's what you look for. That's what was missing in last year's team. He can do that at any point in the game. I kind of had a feeling. I don't do that a lot. But I knew he was leading off the 12th against his former team. You knew that was a position where he wanted to come through and obviously has the skills to do it.
And the fact that he had already taken Randall Delgado deep once earlier this year in San Diego. So he's got a bit of a track record against Delgado. But that was a great swing, by the way. That was a great swing he put on that pitch.
Beautiful swing and really
Wasn't a bad pitch. Maybe up just a little bit. I'm sure Delgado wanted that ball to dive out of the strike zone. It was right at the lower end, but that was a great swing.
It was the Supercuts cut of the game. Supercuts, at Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. It's always great in a game like that where so much effort goes in. Most people have the mindset, you've got your lights out closer coming in, you've got the game in the bag, it falls through. To pick yourself back up and go out and get that victory. That's got to feel really good in that clubhouse. And I've heard a few people talk about how this is the type of game that can have lingering effects for both teams.
Yes, and today is going to be interesting because you've got Andrew Cashner that goes out, and right at this exact moment, the Diamondbacks are out of pitchers. So they were going to do this by committee today anyway. They were going to use a lot of relievers, one and two innings. Well, those relievers, a lot of them worked last night, so it's going to be very interesting. I want this win. I want to take 3 out of 4 in Arizona, go to Seattle, at least get a split up there, and come home with a pretty good road trip.
Isn't it crazy how some teams just struggle in certain places? The Padres have only won a 4-game series one other time
in Arizona. Right.
This is their chance to do it for just the second time since 1998, right? That's
absolutely
the inaugural
right.
year of the Diamondbacks. And we've talked a lot about the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. If you want to compete, you got to beat them.
You got to swat the suckers.
Well played. Well played.
You got to go out there, and the teams that you should be beating, you got to pound them into submission.
You really do, and especially on a game like today. We'll get to the lineup later. A couple guys are getting a day off, but when you're basically going up against every man, when you're going up against a bullpen day and Andrew Cashner's going out there, it's a game you need to win.
Right. They need this win. There's no question in my mind. They win this game. They're on a bit of a roll. They've rested some of their regulars. They got a day off tomorrow. go into Seattle. I'd want at least one. You got two, that would be great. Then you come back, be able to start a really important homestand because you got Washington right away.
Washington for four and then the Cubs for three. That's right. going to be very telling, that right. homestand. Absolutely. We want to hear from you guys on this Mother's Day using the hashtag, not hashtag blame blooper, hashtag PadresSH. That'll get you onto the show. We'll read your comments, your questions on the air, or in the live chat with moderator Becky, Padres.com/social hour. We want to hear from you. When we come back, we're going to talk more about last night's game, more positive signs from Tyson Ross. We'll get into his outing and some of the other heroes on the offensive side of the ball. But first, get ready for San Diego's biggest happy hour. Party in the Park, presented by Southwest Airlines, is back on Friday, May 15th, as the Padres take on the Nationals at 7:10 p.m. The party starts at 5 and features $5 food and drinks. Don't miss the assortment of Maui Jim sunglasses and the Shellback Rum Man Cave. Get your tickets today at Padres.com/party. More on last night's big 6-4 victory in Arizona when we come back right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studios, Eastville Center. I'm Mike Grace. Still recapping last night's 6-4 victory in Arizona, extra innings in 12. A lot of good things to talk about, especially in a game where Craig Kimbrel did blow the save, but so many guys stepped up, and one of the guys that was really good to see step up is going to be our firehouse sub of the game. Jed Jerko coming in with a big pinch hit double, scores the tying run, and it's been really nice to see the swings that he's been putting on the ball, and not only that, he comes in to stay in the game defensively and makes a game-saving play, really. So he's going to be our firehouse sub of the game, and just really good things from him last night.
He's beginning to hit the ball from the right side. I mean, against right-handed pitching. I mean, he's right-handed. But, I mean, he's beginning to hit right-handed pitching, which to me is the most critical thing about Jed right now, because he started the season 2-for-39 against right-handers, which is, I mean, and he was really scuffling. So it's good to see him go up there, get some quality at bats against right-handed pitching, and if that continues to happen, we're going to see a lot more of him.
And you mentioned in the chat yesterday that you do every Friday a lot of mechanical things, not so much mental or anything like that, something that Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell have worked on with him. Mechanically, the ball, he's hitting the ball to the gaps. He's hitting the ball the other way. He's not trying to pull the ball, roll over on everything. That's where you're seeing a lot of these positive steps.
Right. Mike, there was an awful lot of emails and tweets and stuff about Jerko should go out to the minor leagues. He needs to go to El Paso and get at-bats. Well, and the Padres, made a great decision, which – they decided that he would not be better served going to El Paso and beating up on lesser pitching. He was going to be better served by staying here, working on his mechanics, getting that down, and then going back out there in small sample sizes to build his confidence here against right-handed pitching. And I totally agree with that. I don't think a trip to El Paso would have done him any good, because you don't have guys in AAA who can hit their spots like they do up here, that work you over like they do up here. And, yes, I think he would have gone down there, and I think he would have got a lot of hits. He's already proven himself at that level, but that doesn't help him here.
Jed Jerko, our Firehouse sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. Like we talked about, a big part of his night was the top of the 10th. Brandon Maurer gives up the single, ends up intentionally walking Paul Goldschmidt, and then you have two really, really nice plays there. Amarista up the middle. He was shaded nicely by the defensive positioning. He gets the force out at second. Then you've got first and third, and then a line drive. Jed Jerko dives, catches a line drive to first for the double play, and that's when you could kind of feel that momentum shift back towards the Padres.
Amarista made a great play because right before the pitch, he's actually moving the opposite way.
He had to change his direction.
Ball
Absolutely.
Comes right back up the middle. He's got to go back to where he was, made a great stop, was able to pick the ball up, and then Jerko, of course, makes the diving stab of the line drive and turns it into a double play.
You could kind of tell, and I'm sure Blooper will show you the play again, Maurer thought it was a hit. He thought the ball was going up the middle and the game was over. I don't know if he saw Amarista going the other way, but he completely changed direction, like you said, knocked it down. That's the most important thing there. Knock right. it down. He had the wherewithal to grab the ball, step on second. Step almost on second. Makes a great play to first base right. just late, and then it sets up the double play with Jerko.
Right. The only question I had on that play is that from the very awkward spot that he was at the bag to make try to make that throw to first, and there's going to be a big question. You know, here we go. We're up, and he made a great throw, but the chances are that – that's a really difficult spot
not,
to
not
throw
the wisest
from.
Decision right. you've
yeah.
seen.
Right. You've saved the run. Maybe you want to just, you know, hold on to the ball there or look at see at third. But that was a great stop. And Jerko's play was equally – I mean, that was a great dive, catch. I mean, a little bit of the ball showing at the top of the glove, which is just how close they came. But that was a great play. What better play to have the other guy running on?
It's one of those disheartening plays for the Diamondbacks because you only get so many chances, especially right. in extra innings. They're very thin, and when you get that first and third one out, you got to find a way to get the run in. That's something the Padres really struggled with last year, situational hitting. They don't get the job done, and you could see the frustration, and
I think
really led to the positivity of what happened later in the game.
I think the Kimbrel at the end of the ninth, that deflates the Padres a little bit. The momentum swings, and we saw a very different, the 10th, they looked a little bit flat. You get to the bottom of the 10th, Arizona's ready to win it, and I think, once again, those two plays changed the momentum around.
Let's talk a little bit about Tyson Ross and his start. I think we're starting to see the
right.
old Tyson Ross. He's not there yet. He's still struggling. You saw some of the mistakes that you really don't want to see him make, giving up the RBI single with two outs to the opposing pitcher. He's a better pitcher than that. Just makes a mistake there. The play where the Diamondbacks tied the game, it was a 1-2 pitch, and he left it up. Obviously, Upton should not have maybe dives for the ball, but he's got to knock it down.
Right.
You cannot let the ball get behind you there. But still, you don't want to see that mistake from Tyson. But for the most part, he's starting to get back to where he was last year.
You know, the outfielder Upton on that, he's got to make the decision immediately as to you got two out and a runner on first. You got to make the decision. I got to play this on a hop. I'm not – the chances of him – I don't think he had any chance at all in coming in and making the sliding catch, which to Justin Upton's he had done that. Many times before.
He'd actually been making a lot of those
he
plays.
He had made a lot of great catches coming in on balls and making sliding catches. That was not one he was going to get. And when he made the slide, then the ball was past him. That could have, if Will Venable hadn't been breaking over there.
Might have been inside the park.
Could have been an inside the ballpark home run. That would have changed the game completely. I thought Tyson did a much better job last night. His slider was sharp. He was hitting spots. And I don't have a problem with the two runs in the sixth innings. Yes, you don't want the pitcher to beat you there, and Upton could have saved him a run. But I thought Tyson was a lot sharper yesterday. And, hey, in the course of games, every pitcher's going to not hit the spot all the time.
Sure.
But last night, his slider was working. I thought his mechanics were a lot better. He looked a lot more comfortable on the mound. He looked a lot more in rhythm, and he was getting good break, and he was hitting spots. He wasn't missing low and outside like he has been. Last night he didn't put himself behind in the count right with every batter.
A lot better location, so five hits, two walks, but six Ks. And to me, his previous few starts, even though the numbers were getting better, he still looked like he was laboring, really struggling to hit his spots. He looks more comfortable to me.
Right.
That's just an eye test thing. He looked much more comfortable in a hitter's ballpark than he had even any time this year.
Well, he wasn't. The big thing, I think, with Tyson is with the first pitch he threw to hitters, and particularly the first hitter in innings, he was missing on the first pitch. You got to throw strike one is the most important pitch out there. And when you're ball one, ball two, and then you're trying to catch up, you're going to dig yourself holes, which is what he's been doing.
One guy I don't want to get left out of the conversation is Kevin Quackenbush. A really strong outing. He comes out in the 11th, holds down the fort. Padres take the lead in the 12th. He comes back out, so he gets the win instead of the save, but essentially a two-inning save, if you want to think of it like that. Really good to see when you're – primary closer, has struggled. A guy that's closed before comes in, kind of locks up that door. Really good to see from him, and hopefully building a little more momentum for this bullpen in general.
So why doesn't he get a win and a save?
How do you feel about the save stat in general?
I'm going to bow in the direction of Trevor Hoffman here. I like it. There are some stats which have been created over the years. Save is one. I like the save a lot more than quality starts, which I think is just 3 runs in 6 innings to me is not a quality start. Now, if you want to back it off a run and say 2 runs in 6 innings, that's a quality start.
Or 7 and 3, maybe.
Right.
I think there's a big difference between going 6 innings and 7 innings.
Right.
That's
okay.
I
agree with you
there.
I don't think 3 runs in 6 innings is a quality start. Never have. To me,
I bet a pitcher made that stat.
Right. To me, I think the save would be a lot more meaningful if you didn't have to, I mean, if you didn't get one in games where you went out there with a 3-run lead and gave up 2 and got a save. And I will give Trevor high marks here. He didn't have that many of those situations. I mean, the Padres, if they turn it over to Trevor, usually had a 1-run lead in the 9th. They didn't have a 3-run lead. But I would prefer to just not have it a 3-run lead. If you get 3 outs, that's a save. I would like to see it 1 or 2.
Not all saves are created equal, obviously.
No. And I just think it cheapens the stat a little bit that if you have a 3-run lead and you pitch an inning, well, you know, if you give up 2 runs, that's an 18 ERA. I don't think you should get credit for that.
No, that's not what you're looking to do as a pitcher. And it's weird. I think if you talk to most statistical guys or gals, they don't value the save very much. It's funny that baseball still does. Even when you have such analytical people at the head of baseball operations, they still value the save and pay players. That's how you know they value the save, and that they pay players that collect saves.
Now, the stat I always think that's a little bit underplayed, in fact, you barely hear about it at all, are holds, where your middle relievers go out in the 7th, 8th, and 9th and hold leads, and generally those are closer leads than you might get to your save guy. I think that holds are a little bit undervalued, and a couple years ago when we had when Gregerson had all the holds, I thought he had an exceptional year, and almost nothing was made of it because it was Heath Bell getting the saves. Well, the bridge guys that got him there, Gregerson particularly, didn't get much credit for it, and I thought he should have got a lot more credit than he did.
Something we've appreciated in San Diego because we've had such good bullpens,
right.
Maybe a little more than most, but you're right. The hold is essentially the same as a save, just in a different inning. You don't
right.
get to do it in the 9th.
And I thought Quackenbush's last couple outings has looked a lot better. And it's good to see Benoit back, too. I think Benoit's – I don't know how his shoulder is, but it's good to see that when he is out there, when he can pitch, he's pitching with his old panache again.
Definitely good to see. When we come back, want to talk about Andrew Kashner and some of the circumstances around his start today, a really special story. It's going to be interesting to see how he does. It's going to be a lot on his mind. We'll talk about that when we come back. Join the Padres on Sunday, May 17th, as they honor the men and women of the U.S. Coast Guard, Sector San Diego, for Coast Guard Appreciation Day presented by USAA. Military and their families receive 50% off tickets to Sunday's game against the Nationals at 1:10. Get your tickets today at Padres.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about Andrew Kashner taking the hill today on Mother's Day from the AMR studios right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. So grateful for everything you do for all of us. A special day today in Arizona. I think a lot of people have been following Andrew Kashner and the story about his family. Recently, Corey Brock wrote a really nice article, as well as MLB Network, airing a really, really interesting and emotional piece about his mother, who he found out last September contracted a rare form of leukemia, and things got really rough this spring. He was going back and forth between Texas and spring training trying to get his work in, and things got really serious.
Right. Well, I mean, she lost the leg, and I think that affected Cashner's spring. More importantly, I think it affected the start of his season. He did not have a normal spring training. You can't fault the guy for being preoccupied. And when he's flying back and forth to Houston, for very good reason, I'm glad that the Padres were able to work it out. But he's not getting the quality work back there, even though he is working with the University of Houston team on workouts. But you cannot get the quality work that you would get on the structured program in Arizona. And I don't think he was quite as sharp at the start of the season, and that's why. And everybody that was saying, what's wrong with Cashner? What's wrong with Cashner? His first couple starts. Well, you got to just realize what he was going through and the fact that his spring was interrupted. And now I really believe that he's going to really round into shape. And as he does, to me, one of the big things moving forward from here is what the first three starters, Shields, Ross, and Cashner, do. Because the back of the rotation, Morrow, who's on a disabled list right now, Despaigne, who's filled in twice, and Kennedy, are really pitching pretty well. The Padres are 9-3 in the 12 starts made by the back of the rotation. It's at the front where they've really struggled. Some of it is defense. Some of it is they haven't been getting the offensive report. But these are the guys you count on, and they have to step it up. And when they do, which I think they will, the Padres will be in a lot better shape.
Yeah, the track record says that they will get back to their career norms. But going to today, it's going to be an emotional thing for Andrew.
Absolutely.
I think and these can always go one of two ways. He can go out there and just be lights out. It could be a little too much and maybe struggle a little bit. Who knows? But you know his mom's going to be on his mind. And hopefully that is a positive thing. It was a really interesting story to see that some of the positivity and her recovery kind of came through his baseball. They would play the games for her when she was in septic shock, and she actually had good reactions to listening to his games when he was pitching. And they talked about in the piece how big a fan she's always been, obviously, her son, and never misses a Padres game, much less one of Andrew's starts, and it actually started to build her spirits and helped in her recovery.
Plus, just the fact that the role that his mom played in his earlier life, that they would work on the farm or the ranch quite a bit together, that she was a huge part of him being involved in 4-H and Future Farmers, which he really liked, so much of what they did together, I think, still plays today. And he's extremely close to his mom. So, yeah, I think today will be an emotional day for Andrew.
It's going to be a really neat day. We're all obviously pulling for him. It would be really neat for him to do something special, pitch a really great game on Mother's Day to honor his mother.
Pulling for his mom.
Oh, absolutely. She's in remission and doing well, we should say. So things are looking very bright for her. But with a disease like that, you always want to be cautious. But you know she's going to be watching. You know she's going to be on his mind, and you're hoping for the best for him to do something to honor his mom, because you know that would be really special for him.
When Cash has talked to me about what his mom has gone through, just the different treatments and coming up with a septic shock and then losing the leg, it is incredible how she has faced all these things one at a time and battled through them. I mean, there was really a concern as to whether or not she could come through this, and she has come through it. I mean, that must be one strong lady.
Absolutely. You must be strong to go through something like that and survive. So going to be a really special day. When we come back, we're going to get to some of your Twitter questions and questions in the live chat. We're going to put Bill on the hot seat and get some of his thoughts on your questions. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. More of your Twitter questions coming up right after this break on Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
We're back live, and yes, we are live. We're on the air. Bill Center, Mike Grace from the AMR studios. Going to get to some of your Twitter questions here. Always appreciate your interaction with us. the first question we're going to get to here from East Village Times. Does Will Middlebrooks have minor league options left? If so, would that be an option for him?
He does, but it could be an option. Right now, with the way their infield shakes up and they're moving people around, I think it's the same thing that you see with Jerko. They're working on a couple things. I don't think he'd be better served. Let me take it back. I don't think he does have an option because Buddy said during spring training, and I apologize. Buddy said during spring training that there would be a major question if Solardi beat Middlebrooks out at third, what you would do with Middlebrooks since he didn't have an option left. So I take it back. I don't think he does have any options.
First off, I forgot to mention, you're on the Cholula hot seat right now.
Okay.
I know you felt warmth and didn't understand where it was coming from.
Well, I felt warmth when I realized I was making a mistake.
I don't know if you are. I was under the impression he did have an option left. I don't know. We'll have to look into that. But to your point, I think he is better off on the same route that Jed Jerko went.
Right.
I think he's done everything he's probably going to do at the AAA level, and especially in a place like El Paso. I think he needs to work with the hitting coaches, much like Jerko, figure it out at the major league level.
Now, a couple years ago, they did send Venable down when Venable was in a slump, and he wasn't playing all the time. And they sent him down, but because they wanted him to get daily games in center field, and get his feet back under him. It's a different situation with Jerko and probably with Middlebrooks right now.
I agree. Matt on Twitter, he comments, I love the little ninja, but at what point do we start talking about his average? We need Kemp to break out on this homestand. Let's talk about Amarista here. I think one thing you're seeing from him that you haven't seen in the past is a higher on-base percentage. The average is lower,
right. But
he is walking. Part of that is a function of hitting in the eight hole with the pitcher
right. Behind
him. But I think he's doing everything you want on the defensive side of the ball. We've talked a lot about the fact that it is not easy to find an above-average starting shortstop.
Right. And all these I've seen the tweets, oh, they should trade for a shortstop, go after this guy, go after that guy. Well, a trade has to be a two-way thing, and right now you have to be concerned with what do the Padres have left to give up in a trade without cutting into some real. Yeah, you could trade Hedges if you wanted to for a shortstop, but do you really want to do that? I mean, Hedge, and here's the thing on Amarista. Coming in on a ball, he's really good. Going back in a ball, he's really, really good. He lacks a little bit side to side. His throwing arm if he's got to go to his right, his throwing arm to first is not the strongest. But he is making every play that he can make. And he's made one error in 32 games. And he's been better. I mean, he's better than most shortstops in that defensive scale. The range scale, he might be a little bit down on. But if he hits 220, say 230 to 240 by the end of the season, he's been a positive at shortstop. In that eighth hole, you're not counting on him with this lineup to get a lot of hits.
I just like the fact that he is walking in that eight hole because, one, he has not walked a lot in his
right. Career,
which is strange for a guy of his size who should have such a small strike zone. And that's one thing. I think he gets cheated at the plate a lot. I think he gets overcompensated for because of his size. He gets that high strike more than anybody I've
right. Ever
seen, which I think is unfair. But it is really valuable to have a guy in the eight hole that will take that walk to turn the lineup over.
Right.
Because then you get Myers leading off most of the time the next inning, and that's really important.
And the other thing is, Amarista is really popular in this clubhouse, and he's a rallying guy with a lot of players in this team who know how hard he plays and how hard he works, and his teammates like him. And sometimes if you make a change, even if it might be for a better player, and you take some of that chemistry away, and I'll give you an example with the Padres. 2010, Scotty Hairston wasn't the greatest hitter in left field, but his teammates really liked him.
Yep.
And they made the change for Ryan Ludwig. And Ludwig struggled, but he was out there every day in left field. And there were players in the team who did not like that decision to trade and put somebody in the position of somebody else that they really respected.
I knew that's where you were going to go because it is correct. Our buddy Darklighter asks, Myers looked really good at first base. Does that allow the team to be more cautious with Alonso's recovery? I got to think so. And
absolutely.
I got to think that's a really important thing.
Right.
I talked with Kurt about this the other day. What we've seen with Alonso trying to play when he's not 100% has not been good.
Right.
He has to get 100%.
Right. He has to be totally healthy, or Yonder Alonso is not a great – he is not great at playing hurt. We saw that for the last year and a half. But when he's healthy – he is a very productive hitter. Now, it's going to get very interesting. You've got Myers at first. If he produces offensively and defensively, you've got Melvin Upton Jr., who's less than a month away. Now, he can play center, and you can keep Myers at first. But then it becomes a question. Melvin Upton is probably a better center fielder than Myers is right now.
I don't think there's a question about
right,
that.
Right, no question. But he's got to hit a lot better than the last couple of years at Atlanta, or he's not going to be a positive move out there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this shakes out in the next month.
And then Padres Rock asks in the live chat, considering Myers' inexperience at first base, why didn't the coaching staff motion for him to hold the runner on in the ninth? I think that's a situation where he shouldn't have been.
Right.
And you saw Kimbrel say, hey, that was my bad.
Right. There's no reason.
You don't care about the runner.
Let him take second. That guy doesn't – that run there is not at all – important. The only thing, and the fact that Kimbrel made the error, I don't care that he made the error. I think it threw him off of his game a little bit. They gained nothing from that error. Yes, the runner went to second, but he could have gone to second anyway with Myers playing behind him. Myers shouldn't have been holding him on. He should have been right where he was.
Exactly.
And that's where they positioned him. I think the call was made that I'm playing behind him. Kimbrel just didn't register with Kimbrel.
Exactly. All right, you're off the Cholula hot seat.
Okay.
Well played, though, sir. Well played. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Yeah, you could even see Kimbrel said, hey, that one's on me afterwards. He knew
right.
He messed up. Myers should not have been holding on. So, and I think at this point, he's looking to the coaching staff for every single play on where he's going to be positioned.
Right.
I don't think he's in the position to make those decisions on his own right now.
He's not making those decisions on his own, but – baseball, I mean, strategy tells you, you're not holding him on there. That is not a mistake with Myers playing behind him, because you don't care if that runner takes second. That run is inconsequential. It's the run at the plate that you're worried about.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about today's lineup. An interesting lineup, definitely a Sunday lineup. Some guys getting a day off, so we want to go through that and let everybody know everything going on. But first, are you looking for Paradise, Bill?
I sort of have it.
You have it, but here's more. Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies, as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Peco Park at the Park of the Park or the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Today's lineup and the pitching matchup from the Arizona Diamondbacks coming up right after this break from the AMR Studios.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the show. Bill Center, Mike Grace, getting you ready for the final game of the series against the Diamondbacks in Arizona. We've talked about how much the Padres want to and need to win this game. Got to win these series. What did you say? Slap the suckers? Is
right.
that what you said?
Exactly.
The D-backs are suckers?
You've got – because you know you're not going to dominate the Giants and the Dodgers. You want to be competitive. You want to be a little bit 500, but realistically you're not going to be far above 500 against those teams. So you've got to pound on the teams below them. And Buddy's made an interesting point a couple days ago. I'd love to see them go back to a balanced schedule with the fact that now it's wild card. You got two teams going in. If you're in the best division, your chance of winning the wild card with so many games in your division is a lot less than it would be if you're in have a balanced schedule. I'd like to see a balanced schedule because the West is, I think, one of the tougher divisions right now, and they're going to be beating up on each other.
No, that makes
so
a lot of sense.
So you got to pound on the Diamondbacks and you got to pound on the Rockies.
No, let's take a look at the lineup that will hopefully pound on those Diamondbacks today. The lineup, as always, presented by United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Corey Spangenberg leading off. He's been pretty hot lately.
Right.
Abraham Almonte getting his first start and replacing Matt Kemp, who finally gets his first day off of the season. Will Myers at first base. in the three hole. His first start not in the leadoff spot. Upton, Venable, Jerko, Amarista, Austin Hedges, Spelling, Derek Norris, and Andrew Kastner taking the hill. So two guys, Norris and Kemp, getting the day off. Two needed days off. And Solarte. And that's going to be an interesting thing because Jerko finally swinging the bat well. Spangenberg doing a lot of good things at the plate on the base pass. And Solarte still hitting well with runners in scoring positions all over the place. You basically got two spots for those guys if you're keeping Will Myers at first base.
And Middlebrooks.
So, well, Middlebrooks, I think, is in a good spot to take a few days off and really work on some things with those guys playing so well.
Now, today, for one of the few times this year, you have a lot of speed and on base at the top of the lineup, and then you got your sluggers below. So this is a little different lineup, a lot of speed at the top.
And we've seen Padre runners challenging Diamondback catchers.
Right.
We've seen that a lot. Three stolen bases last night. There's been a lot of action on the base paths these last
few games.
Last
night, of course, you also had Jordan Pacheco catching.
Sure.
So.
But they were running on Gosiewicz, too.
Right. But you're going to see – but there is speed at the top of the order. If these guys get on, they might be 90 feet up when the big guns come up.
That's what you got to hope for. Really good for Matt Kemp to get the day-to-day and tomorrow. Been scuffling three for his last 29, seven games. He was still driving in runs, doing some of the little things, like with the sac fly last night. And he wants to be out there every day. But he said he's the type of guy built to play every day. But still good to get him a day, especially when he can get the off day the next day.
Right. And it's the 2 days in a row, even for Norris, the 2 days in a row are a big thing. Just not get the 1 day off, but get the day off ahead of the off day. And, of course, for baseball players, they're flying tonight. So, I mean, that takes some out of you, too. So it's not just, it's not like you get 2 days to lounge around at home. You're still on the road. You're still doing stuff.
Seattle's a pretty good place to have an off day, though.
Yes. Not a bad spot.
No, they'll have a good time there. College Night, presented by Uber, is back on Thursday, May 14th. Live DJ, food, and drink specials, and Padres baseball. Tickets for students are $10 in advance or $12 day of the game. Get tickets at Padres.com/college and catch the Padres take on the Nationals at 7:10 p.m. Finishing up the show right after this from the AMR studios, it's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. So grateful to be on the air today. And on Mother's Day at that, and Blooper, I got to think there is just some saintly woman on the East Coast that made you the man that you are today.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to my mom who lives in New York. Love you and miss you. She's watching. She watches all of them. So,
your mom's here.
My mom's here. And happy Mother's Day to my mom. Love you, Mother. Thank you so much for everything. Looking forward to having dinner tomorrow night. We're going to spend an evening tomorrow night together. I'm going to spend the day today, a little bit later, with my mother-in-law, who is a wonderful woman. Happy Mother's Day, Linda. Thank you for everything you do. And looking forward to being over in Coronado and enjoying this beautiful day.
Hotel Dill?
No. Never the place. I don't want to let everybody know where I'm going to be, Bill.
Okay.
They might just come running.
Who knows? Yeah.
It's a beautiful day here, unlike in Denver, where they are shoveling snow off the field to try to get that game in.
I love it.
Isn't that crazy?
No, it is crazy. But, hey, listen, the entire West needs snow on the ground, so I'm happy.
Yeah, we were very happy for the rain earlier this week as well.
Right.
That was much needed, especially with the team on the road. It worked out perfectly. Real quick, Daniel Hudson looks like he's going to start for the Diamondbacks. He of two Tommy John surgeries. You got to think Corey Lupke is going to be watching this start closely, seeing if it's something that leads to his future.
Absolutely, and Corey now is throwing, so he's on a throwing program, and Josh Johnson is throwing again, looking for both of those guys to be healthy later in the season.
That's a lot of guys in the same stadium with two Tommy John surgeries under their belt.
Well, it's only like three of the eight, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There's only eight total?
Right.
And I'm guessing not all of those guys made it back, right?
No, not all of them did, but some of them. Yeah, I think there are four pitching right now. So, yeah, here's hoping that Josh and Lupke come back and like to see Hudson have success any day but today.
Any day but today. Let's go out there and get a win for all the moms, all the Padre moms out there, the Madres, so to speak. Enjoy the game today. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 with more Padres Social Hour. Have a great day. Happy Mother's Day.